We live in an unprecedented time. With amazing technology and abundant resources, we climb even higher, reach even farther, and achieve the impossible. But somehow the roads around here just keep getting worse. News Talk 94.9 WSJM now brings you Our Take Live, a look closer at the big picture and our little slice of the world here in Southwest Michigan. It's time to get passionate about the good and the bad with your host, Peter Coffin.
Hello! That is me. I am Peter Coffin. I'm that guy. I am that guy. You're like, ha! When will he finally start talking? I've been waiting for hours and hours to listen to Peter Coffin. You haven't. Let's be honest. You can say you have. You can say. So as it turns out, a lot of people are actually listening to the show via podcast. I'm pretty excited for that because I am from the era of the podcast. So it is very neat to see that. If you're interested in listening to the podcast, hit WSJM.com. There's a menu at the top. Click podcasts. Our Take Live is right there. And every episode of the show is right there. And if you are listening on the podcast, hey, thank you. Thank you very much. It's very nice of you. Follow me on Twitter at Peter Coffin. Let's talk. I'm very interested in who is listening via podcast. Very interested. And so, now that we're talking about media and things like that, let's talk about Bill O'Reilly. I wanted to hold off a little bit yesterday on account. Once you hit fever pitch, it gets a little bit out of hand. And I talked about it online a bit yesterday, and I kind of want to make it clear that the reason I care about Bill O'Reilly being off the air isn't that he's partisan. Let me just be straight. I don't like partisan people being on the air. I don't like the news being, I don't like people using the news aesthetic to do partisan stuff. That includes CNN and MSNBC and all them. If it's going to be partisan, please be clear about it. But, you know, that's that. Bill O'Reilly's one of those people. They're replacing him with Tucker Carlson, so it's not like a big victory or anything for anybody who thinks that he's got to go. Oh, Bill O'Reilly, old Bill. Get rid of Bill. It's not a massive victory on that front. And I'm not saying that to, like, poop on anybody's party if they're having a party over some dude they've never met being fired from a job that they probably pay no attention to anyway. I mean, you can celebrate what you want, but I'm not celebrating this. I look at it and I'm like, all right, well, a guy who was probably kind of scummy in his professional life and clearly in his personal life. Family's got a restraining order on him. Those are the things that I kind of think they did the right thing about. But beyond that, I don't care. I mean, Fox News is still Fox News, right? MSNBC is still MSNBC, right? What about the world has changed? I don't like Bill O'Reilly, but I specifically don't like him because his air of superiority and his better holier-than-thou attitude. He is a continuation of a problem I have with a lot of the media, not just Fox News, not just him. The same problem I have with Rachel Maddow. Oh-ho-ho! The same problem I got with Rachel Maddow. And that is, and I'm talking about their media problems. I sincerely doubt Rachel Maddow has the same personal and professional problems behind the scenes. But just clearing that up in case anybody's like, are you accusing Rachel Maddow? No, I'm not. I'm saying on the air, Bill O'Reilly has the exact same problem almost as Rachel Maddow. Except she obsesses over a single topic, the Russian investigation, which she takes literally anything at all she can about it and makes it into this big wish fulfillment narrative that I don't like hearing about. That's exclusive to her. Bill O'Reilly is just kind of a general check out the partisan version of the news of the day. And I don't like that. I don't like the fact that we get our news from partisan sources. I don't. You're listening to News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take Live. My name is Peter Cuff, and I'm talking about partisan news. And what I mean by that is news that caters to the Republicans or the Democrats. Partisan, party-oriented news. News that lifestyle markets to Republicans or Democrats. And I can describe the two different versions for you. The conservative one is that of essentially the world is ending because of entitlements. And some people think that's racial. Some people do not. I would wager there's at least a few people who think of it in both ways. And then there's the left-wing partisan lifestyle marketing, which is the Trump is definitely committing treason. Oh, ho, ho, and he will be in prison soon. Which is, as you know, not what's going to happen. If you live in reality, that is outright silly. That is just ridiculous. And here's the thing. You'll get people who are like, who even says that? How can you possibly even think that there are people who like to shut up? They're intentionally catering to that, okay? If you watch any, like, MSNBC stuff, Rachel Maddow especially, you're getting some sort of encouragement to think that. To think that it's all going to come crushing down for Donald Trump soon. The ties will be revealed. You know what? If there are ties, like, the worst you're going to get him on is the emoluments clause. That's it. The worst. Guarantees made, gifts accepted, that type of stuff. And that's not treason. That's an impeachment. He might get taken out of office. He might not. But that's the worst you're going to get him on, whether anyone likes it or not. That's the absolute worst that's going to happen to Donald Trump. And you know what I'm seeing all day on Twitter today? I'm seeing just like celebration, celebrate good times, come on, that type of stuff. Because Bill O'Reilly's out. But, I mean, meet the old boss, same as the new boss. Tucker Carlson is here to deliver your partisan news. Like, there's, and I'm going to say, there's nothing wrong with having an opinion. If you have an opinion, that's kind of part of being a human. There's nothing that isn't subjective to a human being. You have an opinion on everything. Whether you think you do or you don't, you have an opinion on everything. It's perfectly fine to have an opinion. It's not perfectly fine to call something the news if it's slanted one way or the other. And unfortunately, all of our news is that way now. I'm not saying here at WSJM it's slanted that way. It's not. We have a pretty good newsroom. We're not, like, desperately partisan in any. We're not catering to anybody, I don't think. Just delivering facts, and I like that. At least, as I perceive it, it's delivering facts. I certainly don't detect a bias. But part of that is, like, if something is a fact, and other people say, well, no, that's not a fact, they're able to accuse people of bias. But it's like, sometimes you're right, sometimes you're not right. That's what being a person is like. When I say that, I'm not talking about our news department anymore. Our news department is very clear-cut. From my observation of our news department. But what I'm talking about is if I came in here and said, okay, tomorrow this is happening, and I based it entirely on facts, it had nothing to do with my own opinion, but it contradicted the opinion of somebody else, and they said, okay, you're being partisan, there's no way to convince that person that you're not. That problem's been started by people like Bill O'Reilly. That whole news network, Fox News, it's all about that. And so is MSNBC. It's all about just lifestyle marketing. And the Democrats are just stoked that he's out. Like that somehow solves the problems of the nation. Getting rid of Bill O'Reilly, that does the trick. Certainly, it's not the worst thing in the world to get rid of somebody who has that kind of allegations going on behind the scenes. That's kind of the right thing to do as far as what a company does. But it's not the victory that it's being claimed as. As long as, like, the main news outlets are partisan, and they are, CNN, MSNBC, Fox News, it's all partisan. Pretending it's not partisan, I disagree with people who say that our main cable news networks, the 24-hour news networks, are not partisan. I disagree with that, and I don't like it. But we'll see. We'll talk more about that all the time. We'll talk about that for the rest of time, probably. When we come back, May Day protest plan, we'll talk about it. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. Welcome back here to Our Take Live. My name is Peter Coffin. There are a lot of protests planned in the next short while. I'm going to talk about two. They are from the opposite ends of the political spectrum. And I'm going to talk about exactly what I think their effects are going to be. The first one is a May Day protest taking place here in Michigan. They're both Michigan protests, by the way. I should probably say that. Immigration reform activists from across the state have met to announce that Michigan will have a role in the nationwide resistance to the Trump administration's immigration policies. Adonis Flores with Michigan United told the Michigan News Network that he fears these policies will hurt all Americans. He said, "Is this America for all of us or only for some of us? When Donald Trump attacks immigrants and Muslims, he is attacking workers and families. He is also attacking something more, the idea of an America where we have struggled for generations to make a reality, a country based on equality and opportunity for all." Every year, on May 1st, since 2006, activists from Michigan and across the country have participated in the May Day Action protest over immigrant rights. That first May Day Action Day was called A Day Without Immigrants. It was held in Detroit. It has since spread throughout. Flores also had this to say. "The immigration policy spoke fear, attacked minorities, and attacked the press, values, and decisions that make our country a democracy." And on some level, I do agree with that. I don't necessarily think that what they've been trying to do with immigrants is really in line with what we've said we are as a country the entire time we've been a country. But I'll also say the things that we've done as a country are not entirely in line with what we've said we are as a country since we've been a country. It's not necessarily what we do here. We say things are a certain way, and then they turn out not to be that way, and everybody goes, "Oh, yeah, that seemed like that was going to happen." It sounds a little bit cynical. I know. It is a little bit cynical. Frankly, a lot of the systemic stuff in this country, it's impossible not to be cynical about after observing it repeat itself for the decades I've been alive. Like, everything is just, it repeats itself over and over and over. The only thing that hasn't really truly repeated itself for me is 9/11. That's the one event in the American national stage that's truly unique in my life. Everything else is kind of just, okay. Yeah. Seen it before. So, the protest happening on the other end of the spectrum, if you recall, just as we were starting up this show, I talked about some tax legislation that would have repealed or reduced significantly the state income tax. And I talked at great length about why we need that state income tax for individuals, because it accounts for $9 billion of our $54 billion state budget. If you recall, I went over the fact that it would have cost us just a ridiculous amount of money to just fix all the roads in the state, because that would be an astounding amount of money. It costs $2 to $3 million per mile of two-lane road. $4 to $5 million for a four-lane road. That's two lanes going two ways. It costs a lot of money to do just a mile of road, and there's 120-some thousand miles of road in the state. And they were really, really excited when they announced like a $50 million investment in it. They said, it is the biggest one that has ever been. For 50 years, we have not had anything like this. And it was like, you need about just an astounding amount more than that. That would handle like 25 miles of road. It would be like nothing. 25 miles of road, 120,000 miles of road. That's too much money. You're listening to Newstalk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take Live. My name is Peter Coffin. I'm talking about the fact that there are protests organizing for next Tuesday by the Michigan Conservative Coalition, who decided that they're going to protest against anybody who dared vote against the tax cut, or actually tax repeal, is what they were talking about. They wanted the income tax in this state just totally repealed, gone. $9 billion out of the state budget, gone. And let's just be frank, when you go from $54 billion to $45 billion, that's a massive change in just everything that happens in the state. That's just under one-fifth of your entire budget, just gone. You think that would have gone really well? I wonder how many of the people who are protesting this thing are on Medicaid. I just wonder. Because oftentimes a lot of the people who do this stuff are on Medicaid, something that tax money pays for and they need desperately to keep alive. That kind of stuff, it costs money. Where does that money come from? Taxes. And it's out there so that people can live and work and contribute. It's important that everybody has the opportunity to contribute in some way to our society, be it on a social or an economic level. Most of us probably contribute in an economic capacity. A lot of us don't have jobs that do a lot in the world. I'm not going to pretend I get up every day and know that I'm going to change the world. I don't have any delusions of that, but I also know that $9 billion in state income taxes, it needs to remain in the budget. We need to have that. So I'm not going to attack the protests, though, because honestly, if you believe in something that strongly, I do think that it is good that you're out doing it. So if you happen to want to protest for that income tax cut, you can Google the Michigan Conservative Coalition. I'm sure they have more information. It'll be next Tuesday. The May Day protests in support of immigrants, you should Google the group Michigan United to get involved with. Like I said, I think the protests are good. I think that they at least express the views of people, even if I don't agree with them personally. And as much as I may not, I have a full-blown case against cutting the state income tax, but I do support everybody's right to do this stuff. And they are right to do this stuff, if that's what they believe. That is what this country is about. That's what's important, that we have the ability to demonstrate in that way, that we have the ability to say what we think in that way, that we have the ability to freely express ourselves regarding the direction of this country in a respectful way. Now, that when I say you're free to express yourself, I mean you should be able to protest. I don't mean you should be able to scream in an immigrant's face, get out of here, or something like that. I don't think that. If you want to protest the way we handle immigration, you go ahead, but be respectful to people. There's no reason to be such a horrible person that you see sometimes involved in this stuff. Just be decent. If somebody attacks you, don't be decent. Don't be respectful if somebody attacks you. But beyond that, maybe just be decent. Like, there's not a whole lot else to say. We're supposed to be able to freely express ourselves. We need to be able to freely express ourselves. That is the good part of America. And it's a good thing we're still at that point where we can, 200 years later, it's been centuries, and it's the world has changed a lot since this country started. A lot. But we're still at the point where we can demonstrate in this way. That's great. That's a good thing. So Fred Upton is opposing an Environmental Protection Agency office closure. It requires more explanation. And if you listen after the break, I will go into detail on that. This is Our Take Live. My name is Peter Coffin. I'll talk to you in just a moment here on News Talk 94.9 WSJM. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. Welcome back to Our Take Live. My name is Peter Coffin. So, you know how I like to talk about the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative? It's an important initiative. It's something that we need in our state. Last week, we had a couple of examples exactly why we need it. Fortunately, both of them turned out well, but we had an apartment complex down in South Bend dumping raw sewage into the St. Joe River, ended up in the lakes. We had a chemical spill down at U.S. Steel. Some chromium ended up in the lake. Fortunately, not enough to actually do any damage. But if it had been worse, that damage would have had to have been cleaned up somehow. You know how we pay for that cleanup? The Great Lakes Restoration Initiative. That's exactly what that is there for, specifically. For cleanup, for restoration, for detoxification, for beautification, just for all that stuff. And our lakes are very, very important to the state, not just because they're 20% of the freshwater in the world, but because a lot of our economy depends on that. A lot of the fact that people can eat and afford rent or a mortgage depends on our lakes. It might sound strange, it might sound weird, but it's the truth. Our economy is very dependent on those lakes. Very dependent. And Fred Upton is doing the right thing here today. He's trying to raise a stink. Those are his words. He is trying to raise a stink about the closure of an EPA office that will likely be closed when the EPA gets major cuts in the next federal budget. And it's not good what this is. Let me go into detail on it. The possible closure of the Environmental Protection Agency office in Chicago is being opposed by Congressman Fred Upton. He tells WSJM News the EPA is expected to get major cuts in the next federal budget, but he doesn't think shuttering that office serves the Great Lakes in any way. He's attempting to find partners in his opposition who agree with this. This is not an easy thing to deal with either, most likely. It's very hard to explain how important that stuff is to, you know, anybody outside of the Great Lakes area, anybody outside our region. It's very difficult to explain why it's so important. because people aren't as willing to listen. So good on him for attempting this. He said, we're trying to raise a stink about this. This is not an advisable cut for them to consider. But, he said, it appears as though there's a bipartisan coalition of Great Lakes area members of Congress saying no. He wants to draw attention to the dangers of closing this office to stop it from happening. He says, for all the problems that the EPA has, it's also done a lot of good to protect the Great Lakes. He pointed directly to what have I been talking about, the U.S. steel spill into Lake Michigan, as an instance in which the EPA ensured a swift response, which they did. They assisted U.S. Steel, who cooperated with them. They worked together and stopped it from becoming a major problem. And it could have been a major problem. Where do you think the money comes from for that? It's allotted in the budget in that way. That's how that works. It doesn't work in some other way. And I am in full support of our congressman for this. And it's not even because of environmental stuff, although we do need to care about the environment, most certainly. But we need to look at this from the perspective of our state survives on industries that are heavily dependent on these lakes. Our freshwater fishing industry has got to be one of the largest in the world because we have 1/5, 20% of all the fresh water in the world. We have a $7 billion fishing industry just in our state. That's not including the other states that border Great Lakes. And we have a $38 billion tourism industry because we're the central state. We're the Great Lakes state. And need I remind you that tourism industry grows faster here than in other places in the state. It's growing on average 1.7% in other areas of the state. Here in Southwest Michigan, it grows at 8%. Our tourism industry is growing very fast. The jobs that that already sustains, as well as the ones that are being created, need those lakes. You're listening to News Talk 94.9 WSJM. This is Our Take Live. My name is Peter Coffin. We're talking about the need, to preserve an EPA office in Chicago that services the Great Lakes. It's basically the EPA office we deal with as a state. It's the one that organizes all of the response to Great Lakes-oriented issues. It is our local Environmental Protection Agency office. It's basically how we deal with everything that goes wrong in the Great Lakes, as well as everything that goes right. It goes through there. And Fred Upton, I agree with Fred Upton very much on this. It would be a bad idea for Michigan and the surrounding states who heavily depend on the Great Lakes for our economy, as well as, you know, everything else you depend on the environment for, which is everything. The environment's pretty important. I'm not going to sit here and say, like, the environment, or the economy. Like, for me, it's both. It's frankly, it's both. I care about it from both perspectives. And we should. It matters from both perspectives. Keeping people making money to pay their rent, to pay their mortgages, to buy their groceries, to go to the doctor, to have a car, to get to their job. Just all of this stuff, it's important. And if you think that things like this EPA office or the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative, if you think that these funding sources, the administration, and the various actions that they take whenever there is something that needs to be done, if you think that that stuff isn't very important, I would implore you to sit here for a moment and just think how much our state depends on those lakes. You know, that Pure Michigan commercial campaign to get people to come to this state?
You know how it's a little bit hokey for people who live here, but it attracts a lot of tourism. This is a $38 billion industry just in our state. People like coming here. People like spending their money here. It employs a lot of people, the hospitality industry. You see all the hotels going up. They're going up because they can be sustained. People can be employed there. They'll actually be able to make a living. They wouldn't be putting that stuff in if it wasn't possible. I promise you that. And the thing that's amazing, let me just go ahead and say this too. I'm from Watervliet. When the hotel went in there, I thought, there is no way. There's just no way. There's no reason. I cannot think of a reason for that to be there. And do you know what? That hotel is busy in Watervliet. There's nothing there. Just Paw Paw Lake. A few nice places. It's a good outlet to go around the area. It's a nice midpoint for a lot of the things in this area. And you know what? It's busy. Drive past Watervliet, look at their hotel. The parking lot's full. Do you know why? Because we have a state people want to visit. And when you have a state people want to visit, lots of people come here. When you have lots of people come here, you also need the various distribution of products to come here. So you have truckers as well. Stop at the hotel, etc. Becoming a busy state because we have reasons for people to want to be here. And that's exactly what matters. Get what I'm saying? You see what I mean? That is what is important. And you know the ones that are going in here in Benton Harbor and here and over there in St. Joe and the surrounding areas. You know these hotels are going to do well. If one in Watervliet does well, one in the busier areas is going to do well. It's amazing to me that they do well, but they do. Please support Fred Upton in these endeavors. We need that stuff. Not necessarily all endeavors. I'm not saying you have to agree with him on everything you say. I certainly don't. There's a lot I disagree with him on. But I 100% back him on this. So I want to talk about the Democrats coming up in the next segment. I think you might find it interesting. Here on News Talk 94.9 WSJM. News Talk 94.9 WSJM. Welcome back to Our Take Live. My name is Peter Coffin. I wanted to take the last segment here to talk about the Democrats. Bill Maher yesterday was saying, ignore the kale eaters. Run a charismatic Lyndon Johnson-y bastard. I'll say the word bastard. Against Donald Trump in 2020. He said, I think we learned from Trump and Hillary that we're past the point where American people really care to delve into the issues. They elected a game show host. They want to be led. They don't know the issues. I disagree. I actually really disagree. I don't like that view. I really don't like the sort of sheeple view. I don't like that. I don't like that they want to be led. I don't like that. I disagree with it entirely. People don't want to be led. In fact, they want anything but to be led. They want to be the leader. With the exception of very few people. Some people just want to stay in their house and not be bothered. Pretty much everybody else wants to be a leader in some way or wants to be an independent thinker or wants to look at themselves as somebody who is in control of their own destiny, makes their own decisions. They do not want to be led. If there's anything people don't want, it's to be led. Now, am I saying that that is the behavior that everybody ends up with? Not necessarily. A lot of people end up, you know, hitching a ride, getting led. But I'm so tired of hearing Americans are stupid. They don't know the issues. They don't want to talk about the issues. They don't care. That's not true. And I don't talk about Bernie Sanders a whole lot on this show. There's a reason for that. I supported Bernie Sanders in the primary. I'm not particularly interested in having arguments about the primary. I'm not particularly interested about having arguments about Bernie Sanders or about Hillary Clinton or anything like that. I don't want to have those arguments on the radio. But do you know why that guy got so popular and is, at the moment, by far the most popular politician in the country? By far. Like, not even a little bit of competition at all. Do you know why? It's not because of lifestyle marketing. It's certainly not because he gave people a highly polished presentation of hope, of, you know, unrealistic things. He talked policy. He talked dull, boring policy. But he did it with passion. He demonstrated that he cared about what he was talking about. And I promise you, that's basically it. I just flat out do not believe in the whole, people are sheep, man. Oh my gosh, they're so, the sheep out there, they're so stupid. First off, you want to talk about people not having information. That is not people's fault. That is our media's fault. Our media does everything it can to selectively withhold information so that they can get their point across. You want to say something different? Fine, you can think whatever you want, but that's the problem. It's not people are stupid. People are not stupid. People make the best decisions they can with the information they're presented. That doesn't mean anybody is stupid. Plenty of people make decisions on wrong information. Constantly make decisions on wrong information. And that's where we are. That's how it happened. That's why I was talking about with the Bill O'Reilly segment early in the show. That's why I was talking about partisan news. I don't care so much about Bill O'Reilly. I don't like Bill O'Reilly. I don't like what he was accused of. I think that they were probably right for dumping him. But do I think he is the main problem? Do I rejoice over his firing? No, I don't care. It's good, I guess, because it seems like he was probably doing some unsavory stuff behind the scenes, but who cares? Like, they replace him with Tucker Carlson, which is the same thing, more partisan news. There is not nonpartisan news at the moment. There's selective withholding of certain facts in order to establish a narrative that works with the point of view of the audience they're catering to. It's lifestyle marketing. And that's exactly what Bill Maher is doing. What he's like, don't have the kale people and don't talk about. He said, ignore the kale eaters. So if you're saying that, what you're doing is signaling to the meat eaters, we should lifestyle market to the meat eaters and not the kale eaters. Like, that's, it's when you say stuff like that, when you're literally being divisive intentionally, you're not saying we need to have a party for all the people. You're not saying we need to have the Democrats completely change their MO. You're saying they just need to shift what demographic they're going after. And that's not the case. The Democrats are a fundamentally flawed organization. That's the problem. The problem is not that people are stupid and people don't want to talk about the issues. If people didn't want to talk about the issues, the guy who gets up and just yells statistics for an hour and a half probably wouldn't be popular, but he's the most popular politician in the country. Bernie Sanders is the most popular politician in the country. the guy who gets behind a podium and recites statistics. He talks about like nothing that is interesting at all, but he says it with passion. He's very passionate about what he's talking about, and it's very obvious to people. And that's all that's what mattered for him. That's what shot him to where he's at. He's not like a plant. All of the people like him because he's a genuine person. He gets fired up when he starts talking about the issues he cares about. He gets fired up when he talks about helping people. And he doesn't have a record that indicates that he's full of crap. His record shows that he thinks what he's saying. That's what people want. They don't care if it's an old white guy or if it's a young black woman. None of us care. Doesn't matter. You talk about the issues in a manner that shows you're passionate about them. You show that you're attempting to make things better instead of just attempting to enact a partisan agenda. You talk about how you think things will go better if we do them this way and show why that person's going to be popular before other people. That's because that's the whole point. That's the reason why we vote for people. Because we believe in them. 18% of the country elected Donald Trump. 18%. People didn't vote in droves. A lot of people voted. In the popular vote, Hillary Clinton won. But a lot of those votes were from a single state, California. And Donald Trump happened to win in states that he needed to win in, which was probably the strategy that he attempted to use. It makes sense that he won, because in those states, he just had more people that believed in him. It may have been for good reasons. It may have been for bad reasons. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter that it was only 18% of the country. The fact is, only about 18% of the country voted for Hillary Clinton. Just it was in the wrong states. Strategy was not taken into account on the level that it should have been. Visits were not made to certain states like Wisconsin. More could have been made here. More could have been made in Florida, in Pennsylvania, etc. But it's not a matter of personality. It's literally just that she didn't focus enough on things that people cared about. The people who were voting for her were voting for her out of pragmatism. They were not excited. They didn't care. They didn't believe in her. That's the problem. She didn't give them something to believe in. That's what we need. We don't need Bill Maher telling us that people are stupid. Because we're not stupid. We don't need the Democrats talking down to us like, oh, he's so bad. Voting for him is bad. You're bad if you don't vote for me. All that does is make people go, you know what? I don't want to vote for you. It doesn't necessarily make them want to vote for the other person, but it turns people off. They want to be sold to. They want to be told what is going to be better because of my nomination, because of my candidacy, because of a successful campaign. It's not that people are stupid. I'll talk to you tomorrow at 7 p.m. This is Our Take Live on News Talk 94.9 WSJM. Good night.